Hello, I'm Kate Chauviret and welcome to the SetUp Leadership and Safety Podcast, Driving Sustainable Safety Performance. Based in France and operating internationally, SetUp is a global executive education club where minds meet, grow and succeed together. We are a collaborative learning community of leading international organizations from diverse and non-competitive industries. Rooted in the real world and driven by the real-life challenges of our community, we co-create leadership development programs with innovative, highly relevant, and actionable learning. For over a decade, we have worked with our members to develop and strengthen the leadership elements required for a strong and sustainable safety culture. As organizations struggle to compete in a more complex and fast-paced world, forward-thinking leaders agree that the greatest impact on overall performance is achieved by caring for their people. Leaders who invest in safety programs and develop a culture of care inspire greater motivation, create happy and engaged teams, and boost productivity. So what could be more important than taking care of the most valuable asset in your business, the people who work in it? We hope this safety podcast will help move the needle yet a bit closer to getting to zero. This is the final episode in a series of five podcasts with Xavier Bontemps, international HSE leader with over 35 years energy industry leadership experience gained from senior roles at BP, INEOS and Total, and most recently as Total Energy's corporate HSE director. In this podcast series, we'll explore how leaders can drive sustainable safety performance to help protect lives, assets and the environment. Xavier will share his insightful real-life experiences, safety challenges, and best practice solutions. In this fifth episode, we ask, what are the common performance levers between safety leadership and operational excellence? So welcome once again to the SetUp podcast, Xavier. Before we tackle today's big safety question, would you like to provide a brief summary of our podcast journey so far?
Thanks, Kate. And yes, absolutely. In our first podcast, we examine how safety leadership has an ambition of zero. In other words, what does it take for an organization to believe in zero accidents? If a leader's role is to inspire, that person must equally show how an ambition is made possible. The second podcast discussed levers of sustainable safety performance and possible obstacles in achieving the ambition. More specifically, how does leadership sense its organization is going blind on safety? Specific field practices develop the muscle to exercise sustainable prevention. The third podcast illustrated how safety leadership could be supported by HSE professionals. In other words, how do you know if your HSE professionals are performing well? And success comes from a mix of clear responsibilities and practicing coherent rituals. The fourth podcast broadened the scope to safety and environmental leadership by examining the recent challenges of climate change. The question asked was, how do you tackle HSE in a world bracing for renewables? This is a difficult transition from caring for people within the company to caring for the society connected to the company. Now, today, this last podcast zooms up by connecting safety and operational excellence. Let's discuss how safety leadership and operational excellence work naturally together.
Okay, so what are the common performance levers between safety and operational excellence?
Well, let's start with a difficult topic by defining operational excellence and a few core principles. Back in 2012, I was recruited as the manufacturing and projects director of the new refining and chemicals branch of my last company. Refining at the time was being married to petrochemicals, and the French Total and Belgian FINA cultures were finally being married under one unique organization. One of the founding acts was defining a common governance, and I defined with my team what operational excellence meant. This policy was designed to regain competitiveness in commodity markets by refocusing on what staff controlled best, the manufacturing plants they operated. Now, Kate, I'll pause now and let you read what I produced.
Operational excellence is a collective managerial approach with two goals: to protect the company from major industrial hazards and to improve the company's competitive position. Its objectives are high integrity and reliability of its installations, which are the foundations of sustained performance in terms of safety, quality of production, cost control, and energy efficiency.
In other words, Kate, safety and profitability are the consequence of an organizational culture that targets plants that are actually safe Swiss clocks. A plant that is not safe cannot be reliable because accidents deviate production from plan. And a plant that is not reliable cannot be safe because it is unpredictable. Kate, please read ahead.
Operational excellence hinges on the following fundamental principles, amongst others: management commitment, governance, management of contractors, and individual commitment of all staff.
Thank you. Now, these principles are the skeleton of a management system. By describing the what and the how performance can be achieved, operational excellence merges safety and production management under one banner. It's no wonder that a company like Exxon designed OIMS, Operations Integrity Management System. So let's examine how both safety and manufacturing reliability benefit from these four principles. And the first principle is management commitment. And how did I define at the time with the team management commitment? Kate, can you please read on?
The manufacturing policy for operational excellence, its clearly defined objectives, and the allocation of sufficient resources for its implementation are communicated to each affiliate, site, department, and manufacturing unit.
Whilst obvious, Kate, this first principle does introduce the cost-benefit dilemma. The benefit of investing in safety tools, preventive maintenance, reskilling, procedures, project front-end loading pays back only after a good number of years. But this benefit can be recklessly eliminated by impatient or autocratic leadership chasing costs as their first priority. The reality is that middle management then is often caught between the reality of economic cycles, unplanned maintenance, the consequence of safety catastrophes, and delivering the annual financial performance contract. Now, a company CEO will often state that no activity will be pursued unless done safely. You can see signed HSCQ charters that are posted in all affiliate offices. But however obvious, managers will rarely rise as safety leaders to stop unsafe, hence unreliable, operations. Once upon a time, as refinery manager, I conducted a safety tour with one of my project managers. The project construction employed on that day 100 civil contractors to build a new gasoline treatment facility. Now, upon leaving the construction zone, both of us noticed the entrance of the neighboring unit, where an inscription, handwritten in chalk, read, "Welcome to the world of corrosion." The unit was an alkylation plant that manufactured a gasoline additive using large quantities of hydrofluoric as process media. This is known as one of the top 10 most hazardous chemicals known to man. Now, the unit was running highly profitable then, as the additive would serve the upcoming U.S. spring driving season. But 3 days later, I shut down the alkylation unit for an unplanned maintenance that went over 6 months. Why? Because the unit held 98 mechanical clamps, 98, on lines that had corroded through because of the acid. And a quantified risk analysis had been ordered and demonstrated a hypothetical case of multiple fatalities within the operating and construction zones in case of an acid gas release. But the decision to stop was a tough one, but it was taken for 3 reasons. First, I had read the book from Dominique Lapierre, 5 Past Midnight in Bhopal, and the book described how Union Carbide's Indian plants had caused more than 3,000 fatalities following a toxic release. Second, I consulted a close colleague, not my boss, a colleague who reasoned, "Xavier, you can always turn the page on a poor financial year, but you will never be able to turn the page on a year where you've caused a fatality." And the third reason is that I had with me during the safety tour a reputable project manager I respected and who mentally supported me. At the time, the refinery had 2 shareholders, and before the following board meeting, one of them asked for my resignation for incompetence, and the other stated that I had given a new definition to safety. Now, I asked the auditors today, how would you decide on this issue? But the end of the story is, then I had given my resignation. I didn't want to go to jail. Finally, my request to resign was dismissed. I finally obtained a board allowance for incremental maintenance and recruitment funds. And from then onwards, I changed the refinery slogan to safe, compliant, profitable, by insisting every time that those words were spoken in that order, safe, compliant, profitable.
And what's the second principle of your management system?
Well, let's please read on, Kate. What's the next part of the policy?
Precise rules of governance involving all levels of the organization not only drive validation of the objectives and alignment of each individual, but equally enable regular performance reviews of results achieved.
Now, management define, deploy, and control specific rules of governance. For safety, I can think of life-saving rules. They describe the do's and don'ts for the prevention of a given safety hazard, such as work at height. And the same is true for reliability. As head of manufacturing and projects of this new branch, I had articulated 11 reliability pillars, the golden rules of reliability. The one I preferred was number 6 on field presence, which read that in every production unit, the superintendent, accompanied by the maintenance and inspection supervisors, does a daily field check of his assets in order to witness their condition. He shares with his teams any immediate actions required. You see, the purpose is to spot problems and subtle changes that could impact safety and reliability. And this, of course, echoes with the joint safety tour in my second podcast, or it equally echoes with my safety tour story a few minutes ago. The effectiveness of any safety walk is largely enhanced when experienced managers team up. So the fates and successes of safety and reliability run hip to hip. And in terms of governance, the precise phrasing of each life-saving rule or reliability pillar is reviewed and corrected and especially signed off by the heads of the company.
So what's the third principle?
Contractor management, Kate, can you read on?
And why contractors? In addition to safety performance and their contribution to reduce costs, the ability of contractors to improve plant reliability is key to their selection. Contracts shall specify, insofar as possible, premium-demium clauses related to their contribution in this field.
Kate, I stated in a few previous podcasts the importance of contractors given that they have an internal stroke external view on the company. They know that safety is a condition of employment, and in essence, they have a strong safety stake and a lot of insights to offer to their customers. And for these reasons, I had the opportunity to organize and to contribute quite a few times to supplier seminars. The best recipe I had was to invite a top 100 list and request in advance that each contractor that was invited submit 3 improvements, one on safety, one on reliability, and one on cost reductions. And if they were reluctant to share a few insights in presence of competitors, they most often would be honored to be invited, heard, sometimes rewarded, and brought in any case closer to the customer strategy.
So, and finally, what fourth principle do you think is so important?
This would have to be individual commitment, Kate. In my policy, I stated an incredibly important section that I would like you to read.
Each individual is expected to demonstrate personal commitment and proactive behavior in his or her actions to improve plant reliability. Management shall promote a culture of enrolling each and all.
You see, this new refining and chemical branch had a new reliability slogan, and I quote, "Our machines are part of our team." It was illustrated on posters showing shift operators in their personal protective gear, standing between columns and pumps that looked like Swiss clocks. The motto was supported by the publication and communication to all staff of the 11 reliability pillars, one distilled per month for a full year, in a similar way to the 12 safety golden rules. Management's expectation was that they should be known and owned by staff as a sign of personal commitment. A new culture of plant ownership was sought.
Sounds easy to say. How hard is it to achieve?
Well, you're spot on. In 2021, my company's top management had a very first real insight in the adoption of the company's 12 safety golden rules. A survey I had conducted amongst 18,000 employees and contractors revealed new learnings. If an average 75% thought that the 12 golden rules definitely prevented accidents, only 40% of that population thought that the 12 golden rules were very easy to apply. So what should management do? Make golden rules clear, make it personal. Now, the majority suggested that to improve ownership of rules, more communication, more training, more illustrations and control was required. So you see, management was at odds between their perception of 10 years of solid golden rules deployment and the effective reality of what field workers stated for the first time. Now, from my experience, I have learned from the DuPont's Bradley curve that the improvement of safety performance takes quite a stride forward when transitioning from having to work safely, and this by following rules, to wanting to work safely through personal initiatives. It's not an easy bridge to cross because management doesn't always understand human science and motivation. And it does take quite a few enrollment sessions for employees to define for oneself what a personal safety commitment that sticks in time could look like. My own Bradley commitment was posted on my office door over the last 4 years, and it read, that I solicited from my team suggestions for rewarding safe practices. And this is because I, Xavier, wanted to hear about your initiatives. I wanted personally to reach out, and naturally I would reward safe practices. And because I like developing a motivating sense of purpose between team members. It's the same with reliability. The virtues of lean management go a long way in terms of staff enrollment. I have implemented lean management in my past. You know, you may have heard about spaghetti diagrams, 5-minute team rituals, Gemba walks, brown paper designs. Well, they're all intended to develop participative actions to improve both safety and reliability by allowing each person to find his natural role.
So what are the key takeaways from this last episode?
Safety performance is strengthened when executed in parallel with a management of operational excellence. They are naturally bound together. They require strong leadership that continuously link both together. Leadership that leaves skin in the game when the going gets rough, that hammers strong stakes in the ground like golden rules and reliability pillars. Leadership that solicits and honors contractor insights. And especially humble leadership that understands that their idea of governance cannot be 100% deployed, and that this can be compensated by the natural participation of all staff acting as unique safety leaders.
Xavier, thank you so much. This is the end of today's episode and our safety podcast series. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Xavier Bontemps is an international HSE leader and safety professional with over 35 years energy industry leadership experience gained from senior roles at BP, INEOS and Total, and most recently as Total Energy's corporate HSE director for over 3 years. The leadership themes discussed in this podcast are explored in detail during SEDEP's flagship Leadership and Safety Culture Programme, Levels 1 and 2, co-created by L'Oréal and Sanofi, and in SEDEP's Safety Leadership Academy programme, jointly created with SPE for the oil and gas industry and endorsed by the IOGP. These inspiring learning journeys are designed to help participants rise to the many challenges involved in creating a healthier, more engaged and effective workforce, and examine how our pandemic world has changed workplace health and safety expectations and needs. Our programmes enable H&S leaders from all industries and sectors to rethink their roles and develop the skills and tools necessary to embrace our new world. Our Safety Leadership Academy is specifically focused on developing leadership capabilities within the oil and gas industry to shift paradigms and make zero accidents a reality. You can find out more about these programs on our website at www.sedep.fr. Thanks again, Xavier, and until next time.